Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can come into your house, Father. What a place to be, Father. We ask, Lord, that we just welcome your spirit here, Lord. We ask that you would minister to each and every heart that's here, Father. And for those that aren't here, Father, we ask that you'd be with them, our extended families, Father. Father, we just give you praise and glory, and we just ask that throughout this day, Father, through the worship, through what Freddie has to share, Father, that you will minister to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent. I am lighting the candle of peace and the Christ candle, since it is our Christmas Eve service. Thank goodness there's only five candles. This is from Luke. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness, righteousness before him all of our days. And you, child, would be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercies of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high.
If you want to stand and join us today, we're going to sing some Christmas carols for Christmas Eve. We'll start with Joy to the Lord.
And if you have a hymnal in your pew, it's on page 173 for those that like to follow along with the music. This might be our last service singing a cappella, so I hope you guys are enjoying that. Right. 173 for those that want to follow along in the pew.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. Far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. Wonders of his love.
And God rest ye merry gentlemen in 184. And we're going to do 1, 2, and 7. Whoever's following along there.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day, to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. In Bethlehem and Israel, while this blessed babe was born. And laid within a manger upon this blessed morn, the which his mother Mary did nothing take in scorn. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Now to the Lord sing praises, all you within this place, and with true love and brotherhood each other now embrace. This holy tide of Christmas all others do disgrace. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
All eight verses are really good. But. And then, O Holy Night on page 183. I'll give anybody a minute.
O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks break, for the slave is a bride.
please, if we can.
I just want to say thank you, Lord, for just, you know, for being so faithful to us, for sending your son down to live a human life, to show us how he lived, how to live in this world, and that he died for our sins, Lord. And in this season of Christmas, we remember that. And I just really want to say thank you. And this message, Lord, I just want to, you know, thank you for anointing me to speak your word today. I'm honored and privileged. It's the fourth Sunday of Advent, and the topic is peace, and that in my words that you bring healing to people. You bring peace. You bring all the great things that the Holy Spirit sets upon us, Lord. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I was preparing this message, you know, I couldn't help to reflect on, 2023 personally for myself and my family, and the things that we've been through this last year. Most of you know that we just recently moved here from Vacaville. So that in itself was somewhat stressful. We moved here to be with family, and it's been just such a great blessing. In my job, there was some turbulence. We got cyber attacked and all that stuff. And it was tough. It was hard, right? So, but needless to say that God has been in that from day one, and He always has been, and He remains faithful to myself and my family. And as a church, right, we've been through a lot this year. We've been through a lot. We haven't had a pastor, right? Has it been 5, 6, 7 months, right? And yet, with the Lord's help, we've stuck together, right? We've persevered. We've stepped up, and we've taken each other. We've pastored each other, right? I know personally, I run a group on Wednesdays. I've had a chance to break bread with you, and wow, as a church, we've cried together, we've laughed together, we've enjoyed wins. Gosh, I remember, I think it was during the summer, you ladies went to that summer camp and you guys came back on fire, right? Yeah. And the men's breakfast. So for that, God has had His hand in everything, and He will continue, and He remains faithful, right? So today we're talking about the topic of peace. And I want to be sensitive to the worldly issues that still persist, right? I want to be sensitive and call them out just because of the fact that during this time of the year, they're exemplified, right? And just to name a few, we still see suffering from broken relationships, right? Circumstances and situations, financial stressors, unemployment, right? We still have those challenges. Addictions, illnesses, being alone this time of the season. Being alone is tough, right? Feeling of being unloved, insecurities, feeling of inferiority that still happens. I could go on and on. War, we see the news. There's war going on right now. Hatred, strife, it's still out there. Put up the first slide there, Matt. The problem that the world, including myself, at times we look at peace through the lens of the world versus the peace of our Heavenly Father. This world offers a different type of peace and is fragile to circumstances. Worldly peace is different from the peace that Jesus offers us. Worldly peace is dependent on worldly circumstances, different personalities, what's in it for me type of mentality. Personal peace is pursued without concern of others. Let me give you an example, okay? And I'm not talking about you, okay? Have you ever been in a situation or gotten what you wanted deep down inside? You knew it was wrong. You felt good about it because you kind of got your way, but it was not the right thing. Or something you said this Christmas season that hurt someone's feelings. You got your point across, but where was Jesus in all of this? I know I've kind of done that. You put value in the process over the value of people. It's Christmas season. Another example is, feeling guilty because, you can't buy gifts for everyone. Right? Those expectations that the world puts upon us that we need to try to be like everyone else. I got to buy gifts. And if I don't, I'm going to feel bad. Right? It takes away the true meaning of Christmas and what it stands for. Right? There's still strife going on in the world, and we could see it every day. One that catches me all the time is, where peacekeepers And we make an effort to avoid conflict at all costs, but not really getting down to the root of the issue. Not really getting down to what really is the problem in that situation, circumstance. We'll do everything in our power to avoid conflict, and we think we're keeping peace. We're being peacemakers, right? Jesus himself said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give you peace as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." So what type of peace are we looking for? What does our heart yearn? Go ahead, Matt. And it's at the core of what Jesus Christ really stands for. His gospel is peace. His gospel is peace. Okay? And I wanted to reflect on this prophetic message, right? Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. And I'll go ahead and I'll read the passage just to, you know, I want to drive the point. So go ahead and open up your Bibles. To Isaiah 9. And just for time reference, this is about maybe 400 years after David's kingdom. Okay. We'll read it. Dive into the word here. "Hope in the Messiah. Nevertheless, the time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled. But there will be a time in the future in Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. The people who will walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of the slavery and lift heavy burden from their shoulders." And that's a reference to, I want to reference that to Matthew 11:28 and 30. And this is Matthew 11:28 and 30. "Come to me, all you who are weary burdened, and will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and I will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So I want to reference that and back to Isaiah. "You will break the oppressor's rod just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniform bloodstained by war will all be burned. They will be fuel to the fire." And so here we go. Here's where we pick this up right here. "For a child is born, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end, and he will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity, and passionate commitment of the Lord's heaven's armies and make this happen." So I want to really slow it down. Just slow it down, right? Especially this time of the season. There's so much stuff going on. But I really want to slow it down and take a look at this passage here. So here we see the triune God, right? I brought this from home. This little pointer. Have you guys ever tried doing, like, messing around with your dogs with this? Anyways, I digress here. So I really want to slow it down, because I really want to just reflect and just us to understand this very concept, because it drives to the fundamental component of who Jesus is and the gospel itself. Okay? I don't want you to miss this, okay? So, and this may be a refresher, but, you know, for me, it's just in remembrance to understand who Jesus was and what he did for us. And why it's so different than the peace that we know here in the world. Okay? So for us, a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Mighty God. So Jesus, God, okay, God, came down into the world, became human, and he died for us. He died for us. He gave up his life. He was born in a manger, died on the cross. Okay? Jesus is the Prince of Peace because through his death, resurrection, and blood, he restored us from the great fall. The great fall of that original sin that Adam and Eve, we all know that story, right? Adam and Eve. He restored that relationship between us and God himself. So God became human, right? Became human. Lived a human life, showed us how to live. Died a sinner's death on a cross that was extremely painful and agonizing to have a relationship with us. Isn't that amazing? Just to simply have a relationship with us. That's it. So that very process is peace. The rehabilitating, reconciliation process of having a relationship with us. That's amazing. John 3:16 says, "For God only loved the world that he gave us his only Son, that he who believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So that basic component of him just coming down because he wants to have a relationship with us, he put himself on the cross, and I want to stress that. Because Jesus, next slide, Jesus is peace. Jesus is peace. And if Jesus could reconcile our relationship with God, guess what? He could reconcile anything in your life. He could reconcile any issue that you have. He could reconcile and heal any relationships that are broken. Any circumstance. Troubles. Worldly peace is fleeing. It changes. It's like everything else. The peace that Jesus gives us is never moving. It's always static. And true. Always. Jesus, therefore, is eternal peace. Upon his cross, and when he died, he tore the veil. He gave us a direct relationship to him. We could have a relationship. You call on him at any time. The book of Genesis talks about how he breathed life into us. So as we breathe in the air that we breathe right now, guess what? God is closer than you think. Jesus has made eternal peace available and accessible through forgiveness of our sins. So let's talk about this. What does the Bible have to say? Matt, go ahead. Just keep it simple. What did Jesus have to say about peace? Right? Matthew 5:9. New Living Translations, blessed are those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. Next slide. Another translation. This is King James Version. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Amplified version, which I like this one here because it really sinks into the message that I'm trying to get across today. Blessed, spiritually calm, with life, joy, and God's favor, are the makers and maintainers of peace, for they will express God's character. Isn't that something? And be called the sons of God. So that goes to say that the gospel of peace is the character of God. Right? And if we're peacemakers, guess what we're doing? We're expressing God's character. Isn't that something? Right? Not worldly peace. Gospel peace. The good news. So I looked up, you know, peace, Merriam-Webster's definition. One who makes peace, especially reconciling parties. Next slide. So I went ahead and, you know, did a little bit of more research, went online, right? Similar words, synonyms, similar words. Broker, go-between, buffer, honest broker, intermediary, mediator, conciliator, intercessor, intermediate, middleman. I mean, if you look at all this, who are they describing? Our Lord Jesus Christ. He's our in-between. He's the one that bridged the gap. Right? He's the one that just took away the sins of the world so we could have a relationship with Him. And I want you to capture that, especially during Christmas time, right? Just capture that and let that sink in. So you understand that God Himself came down and loved us so much that He put Himself on a cross so we could have a relationship with Him. So, how can we practice this godly peace? How can we practice exemplifying God's character? How can we do that? And we all know how to do that and where to go, right? Right here. Okay, next slide. Peacemaking, God's character. Let's go to Romans 12:9-21, how to behave. And this is what I love about the Word of God right here. It's living. It's living. It teaches you and it shows you. It speaks to you. It personalizes it to you. Right? This is an instruction manual as to how we could express God's character. All right, so let's go to Romans. And it's not difficult. What you got to do is just open up the Bible and it'll show you how to live. Right? All right. So Romans 12:9-21. And I'll pick it up here. Here we go. This is Paul speaking here. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. That sounds simple. Like, really love them. Don't just pretend. Love people. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly what is good. And how much more complicated could that be? It's not. Love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in your confident hope. Be patient in trouble. Keep on praying. And throughout our witnessing, prayer avails much, right? I mean, we talked about it, you know, this before service. We all stood up and we thanked each other for our prayers. Okay? When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. That doesn't sound like worldly peace to me. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy. with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Okay? Don't think you know it all. Never pay back good with evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God, for the scripture says, I will never take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil with good. It's a character of God. Okay, Matthew 5:21-24, Jesus teaches about anger. Okay. Here we go. Jesus teaches about anger. Have you heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder or commit murder. You are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you will be in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires in hell. So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there in the altar. Go and be reconciled. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. So here it just basically tells us, hey, if you have a problem, reconcile it before you come to the altar. Address it. Right? I go back to what I said about keeping the peace at all costs to avoid conflict. Sometimes conflict is good because we're addressing the issue at hand. Don't sugarcoat and say, well, I want to try to avoid conflict and I'm keeping the peace, right? Peacemakers get engaged in the process. Peacemakers address the issue at hand. Yeah, it may not be easy, but you're getting to the root of the issue that's at hand. Peacemaking. Matthew 5:38-42, Jesus teaches about revenge. So I'll just flip the page. If you have heard the law that says punishment must match the injury, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, resist an evil person. If someone slaps you in the right cheek, offer them the other cheek. If you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give him your coat too. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. Give those who ask, and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. John 13:34, love one another as I have loved you. Again, I go back, right? How do we practice peace? How are we peacemakers? How do we exemplify the character of God? Here we go. John 13, here we go. So I am going away, and I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So we reference the scripture to really understand what peace is. And Jesus and is peace in this time of season, you know, and with everything that's going on, I encourage you, let's just not forget that the gospel itself is peace. And what Jesus did for us, you know, from a baby in a manger to the death on the cross, what that exactly means. He is peace himself. That's different than this worldly peace that we continue to see. It's the opposite, and that's what Jesus has done for us. So as I close today, you know, I just want to say that the gospel of peace is in your heart this season. That we exemplify and that we display the character of God through our actions and what this peace really means. And this peace liberates you from you, yourself, problems, circumstances, because he's already bared it all. That's a beautiful thing. So let us pray here as we close. Lord, in this Christmas season, may the gospel of peace and the Prince of Peace be in our hearts, that we present God's character of peace and love in one another as Jesus commands us to. If you're troubled today in this season, ponder the babe in the manger as to what he did and the life that he lived, a sinless life, and how he died on the cross just so we could have a relationship with you. That is the true source of peace, Lord. That you watch over this congregation, Lord, as we go through these next couple of days. Be still and know that I am God. That's what your word says. Allow us to spend time with you, Lord, to just really understand how fast and how wide and how beautiful you are. And the rehabilitation of our relationship with you and what you did for us. The reconciliation. Through your death and through your sacrifice and through your blood, you have made us and given us the ability to get in front of you and just say, Lord, I surrender. Lord, thank you for all of the things that you've given me. For all my faults, for the things that I faltered in, and I am going to falter. You all, because you already know it. And that's such a beautiful thing. There's no strings attached with you, Lord. And I love you. And he loves you. And know that. Be confident. Have confident hope in that. So Jesus, today, I want to say, tomorrow's your birthday. But I want to say happy birthday to you, Jesus. Happy birthday. Happy birthday for just allowing us to share laughter and joy. To share our most weaknesses with you. Because you are in our weaknesses, and that's who you are. And we love you for that. Lord, thank you for being faithful, for continuing to be faithful. And I pray all this in the baby in the manger's name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you're looking for peace, look no further, because he's right with you. Every time you take a breath, he's with you. He forgives. He allows. He gives and takes away because he knows. And we're his children. So I bless this congregation in time and during this time. Church, we've gone through so much, and I just really want to say thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you just for sharing your stories. I mean, and that's what it's really all about. And that's where Jesus is. That's peace. That's peace right there. where we have the ability to just listen to each other, take a deep breath, repent, say sorry when sorries are meant to be, said. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Merry Christmas. Enjoy this time with your families. Have a good time. Let's not forget the babe on the manger, right? He died for us. That's the peace that we're looking for. Amen.